Welcome back to Senioritis. This is Claudia, and on today's episode, we'll be discussing how to tackle college applications throughout senior year so you can stay on top of the important dates and requirements. During my senior year, I had a lot of help from my siblings, parents, teachers, counselors, etc. However, I know many people don't have access to all of these resources, so I'm here to give some pointers. According to Melissa Brinks, a writer and former college student, if you feel like you're not understanding your college applications or that you aren't really doing as well on one portion as you'd like to be, you should absolutely seek outside help. Also on today's episode, we'll be interviewing Chris Vieira, an expert in providing help during the application process for his 5 kids. So on the pod today, we have Chris Vieira. Tell us about your experiences with your own application process and how you helped your kids work through theirs.
So for me, it was, there was a big book that had all the different schools in it, that it was like a big reference book, almost like an encyclopedia that gave descriptions of the schools and all the statistics that you needed. And it was also a little bit of conversations with guidance counselors at school who tried to direct certain ways. We didn't have, nothing on the internet, obviously, for computers. So then it was word of mouth, just as it is now. I think the other thing that I had that was a little bit different than you guys was I wanted to play. I was pursuing playing a sport in college. So they were recruiting, and that helped me decide between not a lot of schools, but a few schools, some that I really wanted to go to but didn't want me, some that I didn't want to go to that wanted me to come. So it was kind of process of elimination in that way, and that helped direct me more probably than anything else, was going to a place that wasn't, that was probably in New England, that I could try to continue playing the sport that I wanted to play. And I think how that helped me help you guys is, I know going through the process of knowing schools and things and enjoying that process, and having older siblings to you guys, we've done this a lot, and it was easy for me to help direct you two, especially you and your sister, especially because we've been through this a number of times and enjoyed it. So I wanted to bring some of that excitement to you guys, but it was more dread.
So what my dad didn't say here is that not only did he keep on track of my due dates and keep me on schedule, but he also took the time and work off to take me to these places and these colleges, and he would quiz me on the college facts, so I wasn't just showing up to these colleges and mindlessly going through the tours, but also gaining knowledge and really weighing out my options. And that was something that I know not all parents were doing for their kids, and I just wanted to put that in there, that he really was putting in the effort for me to weigh all my options, and he believed in me with my grades that I could go anywhere that I wanted, and it really allowed me to believe that I could. So my next question for you is, how has the application process changed from your generation to your kids? And overall, did this affect the amount of support you could give them?
Applications from back in my time were all either handwritten or typed if you wanted to choose that route. Everything was mailed, so a lot more paperwork, time filling things out. It was pretty labor intensive, so I think it affected the number of schools that you might apply to, and because of the time that was spent. So you chose really wisely and carefully, as best as you could, to make the right decision, versus now everything's electronic. You can broadcast your transcripts out to a number of different schools just by the click of a button. And I think that's unfortunately, what drives the number of applicants up at these schools. And it's great for the schools, but it's not so great for the kids. easier to get your info out and about because of an electronic world that we live in. I think because of that change, it made it easier to look at a lot of different things with my own kids to encourage them to look beyond just what was close by. For instance, just to think more broadly, would you consider going away? It was just easier for us to use technology to kind of do our own investigation. So that's what was very different.
And my last question for you as we wrap up the podcast today is, if you had any main pieces of advice or things that you could generalize to other kids that may not have the support of parents or siblings, what would those be?
So in terms of what I would say to kids now that don't have a lot of support, I think the internet provides a tremendous opportunity to do a lot of research before you ever set foot on campus. You need to start to think about geography, where you would like to be, what you can afford, the big school, small school, specific programs, locations, all those things that you can start to think about in your mind. You can spend some time on a computer and see videos and actually experience what it's like walking the campus even, or getting a feel from YouTube videos from kids that go to a certain place to kind of get a good vibe. So there's lots that you can do just when you're thinking of it in your mind, to actually go out and acquire some info that's very different than 40 years ago.
To add on to what Chris just said, when I was going through the college process, I had the resources to get to all of the colleges, especially because I wanted to stay more local, so I didn't have to fly anywhere to tour colleges. But before I decided on the colleges I actually wanted to go physically see, my parents would have me sit down at the counter, and we'd hit at least 3 student tours of their colleges. Like, I remember doing that for Penn State and UConn and UMass and UNH. I toured all those virtually first before deciding that might be the school for me. And then ultimately it came down to seeing them in person and deciding between those after I saw them. But online tours are definitely slept on and not utilized to their full advantage, when that is a big resource that anyone or almost anyone can use. All right, thank you so much for your time, Chris. I really appreciate you coming on and talking about your experiences. That is all we have for today. So this is the end of Senioritis for this episode. Don't forget to join us next week as we continue to discuss areas of support during the application process and ways that you can involve yourself even before seeing the campus in person. Thank you.
Welcome back to Students Weekly. This is your host, Gabby Sabatino, and on today's episode, we will be discussing what aspects of your last year of high school led you to your future college plans. So a little bit about these aspects leading to your future. This has to do with ways one can effectively perform their senior year by getting through classes and or tough college applications. Here's a quote from Sage Journals. Urban students who attend high schools where there is a pattern of four-year college going, where teachers report high expectations and strong supports for college attendance, and where there is a high participation in financial aid application are more likely to plan to attend, apply to, be accepted into, and enroll in a four-year college that matches their qualifications. Also on today's podcast, we will be interviewing Charlotte Newton, an expert in this field. So on today's podcast, we have Charlotte Newton. Charlotte, tell us a little bit about your experience with the aspects of your senior year that led you to the University of Connecticut.
Sure. My senior year was definitely a memorable time. Although it was definitely stressful and rough at the beginning, I made it where I am today, which is a Husky. In the beginning, I was unsure of where I would attend for college. At first, I was thinking about going far, but the idea of being miles away from my family and my friends didn't sit well with me. Although I loved the University of Colorado Boulder, but I decided to narrow down my choices to colleges around New England. My top choices consisted of the University of Massachusetts Amherst, University of New Hampshire, Fairfield University, and obviously University of Connecticut. After I went on multiple tours and had a lot of hard decisions to make, I decided to choose UConn. UConn had everything I wanted, a big campus, awesome athletics, and multiple classes that fit into my major, which is allied health science, and a lot of colleges didn't offer that. After my decision was final, my senior year became less stressful, and I got to spend a lot of time with my family and friends. Being able to spend senior week at our prom and with my friends is something that I will never forget. We were also able to do things like senior sunrise and powder puff and games with my grade. I got to enjoy my grad party and my friends' grad parties to celebrate all of our accomplishments. Another fun fact is that our graduation was actually on my birthday. It was a day I will never forget, and it was an awesome way to spend my last moments in high school, and I'm so happy with the multiple opportunities given to me and the rest of my class.
That's a great answer. Okay, so now, how would you describe the process of college applications and even writing your college essay?
I think deciding the main topic of your college essay is definitely the hardest part of it. It's hard to decide to pick one topic that truly makes you. But after a lot of consideration, I decided to write my college essay about my family house burning down. It obviously was a huge tragedy in my life, losing important objects and memorable things. But once I came up with this topic, it was very easy for me to write. And although it took months of preparation, I think college essays are a very important part of your application, and it shows who you are and how you'll succeed at their college. With college applications, it was more difficult because some expected different responses. For example, on one of my applications, I had to write two essays instead of one, and for some, I did not to include my didn't need to include my essay. Instead, I would fill out a questionnaire. While doing my college applications, it was really helpful to construct an organized resume that shows all of your accomplishments and activities. Although for most of it, it's not a requirement, I believe it's a good way for the college admissions to admire you. Once submitting your applications, the hardest part is waiting for their response. Luckily, I was very fortunate to have received 14 college acceptances. This was a great moment for me because I realized how much of my hard work over the past 4 years had paid off and how much I wanted to continue this work ethic for my college experience.
Wow, that's amazing to hear about all of your hard work and your resumes and your college acceptances. I'm really sorry to hear about your family house burning down. I think that's definitely can take a toll on somebody and their entire family.
It was definitely a really hard time for my family, and it's something traumatic to go through, but something I learned from it and why I wrote my college application on it is because I learned firsthand for myself that it's not about the objects and the things that you possess, but it's about the people you care about. And the fact that everyone was safe just made me like appreciate life so much more.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I definitely agree with that. And since being at UConn, do you feel like you have met people here and like have built connections that have made you feel like you're at home?
Yes, definitely. Since I've been at UConn, I've met like such an amazing group of girls and even just people in my classes. And I've been so lucky to have the opportunity to join a sorority and also just meeting people who have the same goals and like aspirations as you has been really nice.
Definitely. Yes, that's definitely awesome to have. Last question. How would you describe this time in your life, being a senior in high school, preparing for your future? Looking back, would you do anything differently?
I think there are definitely some small moments that I could have done differently, but overall, I'm happy where I ended up and the steps I took to get here. Something that I would have done differently is not stressed myself out while waiting for my applications to come back. It was hard waiting because I felt like my whole future depended on it. But I've realized now that I applied to so many schools and everyone ends up where they're supposed to be. Another thing that I would have done differently is continued a steady pace all throughout high school. I definitely overworked myself freshman, sophomore, and junior year. And when it was my senior year, I spent less time on my high school work and worried way too much about my future. So if I could go back, I would have tried to enjoy my time while I was there because it truly did fly by. And now being in college, I miss how easy high school was in a way and the friends that I had in my classes to help me through. But with that being said, now I know that college is going to go by so fast and I want to work equally as hard all 4 years. College has definitely been like a step up in the academics and it's definitely very challenging, but I know that I did so much work to get here and it's going to be worth it for my future.
Yes, I definitely agree. Well, Charlotte, thank you so much for your time and your wonderful advice.
Yes, thank you so much for having me share.
Well, that's the end of what aspects of your last year of high school lead you to your future college plans for today. Don't forget to join us next week as we will continue to discuss the developments in this topic of transitioning into college. See you next time.
Welcome back to Connections in Education. This is Katie, and on today's episode, we'll be discussing the connections you make in the classroom with teachers and classmates and how this may correlate to higher performance academically and improved attendance. Here's a quote from Harvard Graduate School of Education. Educators can learn the skills behind secure relationship building, and they can teach them. This gives educators the opportunity to, within their daily interactions, strengthen the ways their students relate to others throughout life. Also on the podcast today, I will be discussing my own personal connections in education, as I am currently a student at UConn who is an education major. Along with me today is Caitlin and Annabelle, who live in my building. So I'm here with my guests.
Hey guys, I'm Annabelle.
Hey, I'm Caitlin.
So my first question is, why do you think it is important for teachers to have a positive relationship with their students?
I think it's important for teachers to have a positive relationship with their students because it creates a... Stop laughing at me. It creates a more like cohesive environment within the classroom and like students might actually want to show up and get work done instead of like skipping every single class because the teachers are more fun and yeah, it's just better that way.
That's good. I like that answer.
Yeah, it definitely helps get work done because if I don't like my teacher, then I'm not gonna be like willing to like do what they ask, and if they're like, oh, like, you need to focus, like why would I like do that if like they were just like a like terrible person to me, like. Because, like, the respect has to go both ways, not just, like,
yes.
A dictatorship.
No, I agree. No, I think that is important for a teacher to have a positive relationship with their student because you don't know what that student might be having going on at home. And sometimes school is a safe place for them. You know what I'm saying? So I think that, you know, it's better to have, like, a good connection. So, Annabelle, do you have any good stories, like, you've had a positive relationship with your teacher?
Yes, I have. I can't think of like, wait, I don't know. I can't think of a specific story, but I had this teacher, Mr. Driscoll. He was the best teacher in my entire world. I had him for like 2 years, like three different classes, but he taught like personal fitness. But every day he came to like class with a different story about like his own life. And he was just like the most inspiring person ever. And like, I've never met a single person that didn't like his classes. because he, like, really wanted to be inspiring and, like, have people do better in life and fitness and just, like, everything. And, yeah, he taught me, like, a lot of things about just life in general.
Hmm. Caitlin?
Yeah, so my leadership teacher in high school, I had him for 2 years, and then I was his TA also, so we had a lot of hours, like, in his classroom, and he always made it fun. We did, like, potlucks where, like, people would bring food, and we would just yap about, like, random stuff, like, not, like, academic, which just made it feel like a safer environment, and, like, I could, like, be myself with him, so it made it easier to learn.
Yeah, I had a teacher, my fourth grade teacher, her name was Mrs. Schulteis, and she worked at the after school program, so I would see her after school, and she was so nice. She always gave me, like, she always snuck me candy, and, like, she was always like, shh, you're my favorite, but I can't tell any other kid that. She would come to some of my basketball games. She was so nice. She was young, too, and I think that's important, too. A lot of the teachers that I've connected with, they're young. They're not older.
That's a good point.
Because they're more flexible in the way they teach. A lot of older teachers are very regimented.
Yeah.
And she made me want to become a teacher. That's why I'm here, trying to get into NEA. So, yeah, she's so nice. Thank you guys so much for your answers. My next question is, how do you think teachers can create a positive relationship with their students?
Okay, I think that basically just being very, like, open and welcoming to anyone that, like, enters your classroom or, like, wherever you are, and just having energy and, like, I don't know, just kind of, like, being honest. Like, if the teachers get personal, then it, like, leaves space for you to feel like you can also be more personal and, like, really connect on a deeper level than just, like, teacher-student. And, like, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Caitlin?
Yeah, definitely, like, trying to be inclusive of everyone and, like, trying to make people feel welcome. Like, I don't know if you've seen on, like, TikTok, like, the teachers that have, like, the, like, care closets.
Yeah.
The stuff of just, like, random stuff that, like, kids can, like, get if they don't have it at home, or, like, if they just, like, are, like, having a bad day, like, they can go get, like, a snack or something. Like, I think that just makes it feel, like, inviting, and, like, I definitely would, like, feel more comfortable going to a teacher, like, that I knew had that, like, even if they weren't my teachers, like, if I knew them about, like, around school.
Yeah, I think it's important for teachers to show positive reinforcement, because I feel like a lot of students feel like they're going to get shut down if they ask a question. So I feel like if you're encouraging kids to participate and respond, they're going to raise their hand more, they're going to do things of that nature. I think it's also important for them to show genuine interest in not just school, but, like, oh, how are you doing? Like, if you knew the kid at a soccer game at school, how was that? Did you score? You know, questions like that really make the connection better in the classroom and overall. I think it's also important for teachers to be available and approachable. So if the teacher is going to stay after school and you can come in for extra help or something, I think that's also a really good factor. Okay. Thank you guys so much for that. My next question is, what effects do you think a student has when they have had a negative relationship with a teacher?
I think a negative teacher-student relationship can make or break how a student feels about a subject.
I agree.
Like, for me personally, me and my brother both took ASL, like, American Sign Language, in high school. And we both, like, I think, like, the topic of ASL is super interesting, like, being able to sign, but also, like, the, like, deaf culture and everything in, like, the country. But, like, our teacher that we had, like, we still talk about her to this day. Like, she's, like, a villain in my family because it was just such a terrible experience. Like her, the way, like, her attitude was, like, it just seemed like she didn't care about the subject, so then it felt like I didn't need to care as much as I did. And then also she assigned, like, crazy amounts of work and then would take, like, 4 months to grade them. And it was just, like, insane. So you would have an A, and then by the time the class was over, you'd be failing, and then you didn't know, like, you couldn't fix it. So it was just, like, it was just stressful. It was unnecessary stress that we didn't need for a class that should not have been that hard. So it really just made me, like, dislike the class, and, like, my brother disliked it. Like, my whole family was just like, oh, my God, like, why are you still taking that class?
Annabelle?
Yeah, I, like, completely agree that it can, like, change your views on a subject. Like, a lot of people will, I don't know, they, like, hate math just because it's, like, harder and stuff. But, like, personally, I've had, like, a lot of great math teachers, and they've made me, like, really enjoy it, and I got, like, really far, like, early on because of it. But then, on the other hand, like, I don't know, some teaching styles can just, like, not work with certain students. Like, I don't know. I have this one teacher that just likes to go on rants about random stuff that has nothing to do with the subject that we're learning. And it, like, it's really hard to focus. And I find myself skipping that class a lot of times because I just don't want to deal with, like, sitting there for no reason when it's just, like, rambling about nothing that, like, seems to matter.
No, like, I agree with that. I had a teacher who was teaching me fractions in the fifth grade, and she was so evil. She gave me a D on my midterm. She was like, Katie, you're not good at math.
In fifth grade.
In fifth grade, she said, Katie, you're not good at math. This is not the subject for you. Can you believe that?
That's crazy.
Isn't that insane? Really? To tell that to a fifth grader? Yeah, no, she was actually evil. And then I had, in seventh grade, I had a teacher say that she couldn't even look at my face anymore when I didn't understand physics.
Ew.
No, so I just think, like, negative interactions with students can cause them, like, not to want to go to class.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, even in college, like, I've noticed.
Especially in college.
Especially in college, if the professor isn't good, especially in a big school, if you feel like you're just a number and you can't connect to that professor at all, you're not going to want to show up to class.
Yeah.
Attendance is going to drop. So I think the key is to stay engaged. Thank you guys so much for joining me today in Connections of Education. That's a wrap. Don't forget to join us next week as we continue to discuss development and skipping class in college.